Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. You know, folks, we've got an exciting show tonight. I am so jazzed, a little bit intimidated, but so jazzed that we have Penny Pierce with us, and she's going to talk about her latest book, Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. And I say intimidated because she's a real nice lady. Don't misunderstand that. But I say intimidated because she is so strong, she is so powerful, but at the same time, she is so gentle, and she is full of information. So get your pen and paper, sit down, relax, take some notes, and then after the show, go out and get the book because it's going to help you tremendously. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, check out my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, and again, that's on my website, MoniqueChapman.com. Timely and revolutionary, transparency, seeing through to our expanded human capacity, shows us how to let go of everything that gets in our way, the obstacles, clutter, and fears, to truly achieve our greater authenticity, clarity of purpose, and feelings of belonging and joy. By transforming our opaque reality into a state of transparency, the dividing lines that fragment and isolate us melt away, and all that is left is the true self, connecting us to everything and everyone. Penny Pierce is a respected and gifted visionary and clairvoyant empath with deep psychological understanding and business sense. She is an early pioneer in the intuition development movement and consistently writes leading-edge books that open the way to new pathways of consciousness and personal and societal transformation. She is known for her common sense approach to spirituality and the development of expanded human capacities. She's the author of 12 books, including the bestsellers The Intuitive Way, Frequency, and The Leap of Perception. And she has contributed to many, many more books. You can check her out at her website, and that's PennyPierce.com, and let me spell that for you, PennyPierce.com. Welcome, Penny. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on again.
Oh, that's great. And sorry about that. I was getting transparency and whatever mixed up, but we got it out there. Absolutely love the book. You know, your books tend to build upon one another. And I remember way back when with Frequency, and that was groundbreaking. And now you have written a book truly for the times that we live in now, not only personally, but for society as a whole. Now, you came from a background as a corporate art director and, you know, copywriting and graphic design and all of that. How did that background prepare you for who you are today?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I did not have any dramatic happened to me as a kid. I didn't, you know, have any accidents and bang my head or, you know, I just opened up intuitively, very gradually. And I think that working, you know, I was always drawing and doing art as a kid, and then going into design, both interior and graphic design, is a very interesting thing because you're doing design problems. You know, you're doing problem solving in a creative but practical, useful way. And so that kind of habit of using, you know, creativity and intuition to access things but making it grounded, you know, at the end, that was a kind of a habit I had. And then it kind of carried over when I moved up to Northern California in my 20s, I guess it was. The whole human development movement was just starting, and all this exciting, interesting stuff was going on. And I started looking at people's lives to see what was under the surface, you know, the metaphysical part of things, which basically that's the universal law, you know, and how does life work really down deep? How does consciousness work? And I started getting really fascinated with digging down into all that and then looking at people's lives as a design problem, right? You know, if they had certain karma or they wanted to have a certain outcome and learn their life lessons, well, how would they engineer that? How does the soul set things up so that you do get what you need and you do evolve? So I always was just fascinated with these mechanics of things, and it just kept going and going and going, and more would that be added in, you know, it's just never ending.
It's like the Energizer Bunny, it just kept going and going and going with more
fascinating and more fascinating. And I kept looking under the surface of what was going on in the world, and often people's lives were symbolic of that larger process, you know, and saying, well, what is happening under the surface? Well, acceleration, acceleration, acceleration. Everything's getting more intense. There are waves of energy running through. And then I started to see that how it was changing people, you know, this accelerated higher frequency energy. And then, it just all became about the transformation process. As I went on, I saw, okay, that's what I really want to talk about, is what is transformation? It's not just change. Oh, and how does it work? And it does have a process. It's not random. It's not magical. Do you know, it really has a process. And could I write about that process and make a kind of a roadmap for people so they could, you know that they're not going crazy and know that there is a way through this and what the end result is likely to be like? You know, try to feel into that and go into what is a transformed reality. And as I went along, I found the word transparency slipping into my other books. I forgot that it had been coming up. You know, I had a whole chapter, I think, in Leap of Perception on, like, accelerating toward transparency. And I totally forgot it. And then when I started writing a new book, they said, well, what do you think this next book would be about? And I said, like, just popped into my head, it's going to be about transparency. And so it's like it's been there sort of waiting in the wings all along, like for the right time.
Yeah.
And I think this is the right time suddenly, because look at how much it's in the news every day. You hear it.
You
everybody's
can't
talking
it.
About it.
Yeah, you can't escape it. I mean, you know, at the time of this taping, you know, this is the day that the big indictment came down and arrests were made, and it's all about people not being transparent in whether you're talking about a national level or, you know, down to the personal level. It's truly time to be transparent. But Penny, how can we make that leap, jump that chasm of being so linear and focused, or I should say, I guess maybe left brain, to more of a either equal-brained or right-brained way of living so that we can become transparent, so that we can transform not only our lives but our society at large?
Yeah, that's a huge question. let me say first that I think that transparency, personal transparency, is really a matter of realizing that we are the soul, that we don't have a soul. It's not like some balloon floating out in space above us or something, that we actually are the soul. Now, you know, it's not in the future. It's right now. We are it. It's always been there. And that means that also that there's that once you realize, hey, I'm the soul, that means I'm a spiritual being looking out from these eyes, and I'm focused at the frequency of physical matter. I'm in the three-dimensional world right now and playing in this realm. And that in a way that I have access to any realm I want through my attention. But when you realize that the spiritual is inside the physical, then you realize that it's inside all matter, that there's no separation, and there's a real deep integration that suddenly hits you. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's always been this way. So why isn't the physical plane working according to spiritual principles? So then we see that that's because a lot of the truth is just being sort of covered over by a lot of wet blankets of fear, you know, of feeling separate, of feeling like there's this supposed outside world that can do danger to you and that it's not who you are. And, you know, there's all these illusions of that fear causes based on the fact that we feel separate from each other. You know, so when you come in and become the soul and you really get that sort of experience, that deeply felt real experience, then what's funny is that the soul doesn't even understand fear. It's like it doesn't compute. It's not even in that world. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? That's not the way life works. You know, and so it sort of goes, well, did I ever think that way? Or maybe somebody else told me that this is the way life was. Or those you know, karmic things I remember and early fears. Did that happen to me? Or was that somebody else told me about that? Or was that something that's just human? You know, and you actually kind of forget about the fear reality. It just doesn't seem real. And it's so weird, because then what happens is you start having this amazing sort of trust and faith in yourself, in the way the flow works, in the way your reality materializes, and what you need to know in each moment is just right there. Mm-hmm. And you have help in materializing things because you're connected to everyone. And it's all kind of win-win-win. It's not people working against each other because there's no fear.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to cover in transparency. But in order to get to that state, this is a long answer to your question.
No, it's fine.
To get to that thing of clearing the clutter or the wet blankets or the BS, as you call it, you know, it's a matter of really wanting to grow and really, you know, integrating the higher energy that's constantly happening. You know, we've got wave upon wave upon wave of intensity and acceleration that comes through the planet and through our bodies. And we have to, like, relax and let go and open up, become porous, and let our bodies acclimate to that new level. And then we get a lot of new knowledge that comes right along with the energy. But it's not all at once. It's in stages, but you know, it's a long process of getting clear, and then sort of rocking out of that clarity into some kind of confusion or chaos, and then going, wait a minute, this isn't the real reality. Let me get back on center and get back to the feeling I like, and remember what's really true, and feel the way I like to feel. Ah, you know, and now I can create, and then you get knocked off center again by something else. So, and then you have to do it again. Sort of, you know, it's building the habit of your preferred reality. And I don't mean that you ignore, not so much ignore, resist the fear reality or the opaque reality, as I've been calling it. But you don't put a lot of attention on it and make it real and resist it and fight it or glorify it. You just kind of get ho-hum and a little bored. Like, this is kind of a waste of my time to be indulging in this reality and making it, feeding it my attention. So you just kind of, you know, nonplussed, you move on and you go back to what the spiritual reality and the universal laws, you know, are all about, and get centered back in that.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying that we should be aware of the energy, but neutral to it. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. Don't comment negatively about it. Right? You know, because it does bring up old subconscious fears. That's the whole point. It's agitating. It's like it shakes things up, it stirs up the soup, and things come to the surface to be cleared. So you don't have to go roto-rootering around inside yourself, because the stuff will come up on its own. You know, yes. Like you were saying before we started, yeah, transparency, whether you want it or not.
You know, yeah.
It's coming. And
and you know, you never know when it's going to come and visit itself upon you. I mean, it's really important that we live our true selves and as much as our truth as we can. And we're going to talk about truth more in a moment. But folks, I'm speaking with Penny Pierce. She is talking about her latest book, and that's Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. I'll get that out one more time. Transparency, Seeing Through Our Expanded Human Capacity. It's available everywhere. It just came out on the 10th of this month, and it's destined to be a bestseller. But more importantly, folks, if you are looking to grow, if you're looking to change your current circumstance into something different, something better, this book is going to give you the tools that will allow you to do this. And you can also check her out on her website, and that is pennypierce.com, PennePierce.com. So Penny, you know, when you talk about your book, you said that the first chapter entitled Awakening is so important. It's like if you don't read anything else in the book, you know, definitely read that chapter on awakening. And I found the book, first of all, folks, it's a page-turner, but it's a page-turner that will have you stop and start thinking about what you have just read. So you can skim through the book and read it and, you know, read the words, but trust me, those words are going to delve deep into your psyche, deep into your subconscious, actually, and come up to the conscious level. Was that one of your intentions, Penny, behind writing the book?
I've always tried to write. I remember reading a couple of books by, like one of them was I Am That by Sri Nisargadatta, and as you read some of the words that he says, you can feel the living energy inside the words. The whole wisdom of the piece translates immediately, like you absorb it instantly. And I thought, oh, I would like to be able to write like that. So when I wrote my first book, I used to have little post-it notes all over. Make each sentence a jewel. You know, make it all, you know, keep trying to have the language be alive and, you know, translate higher concepts down into our world so that it made it understandable, but not dumbed down, you know. So, yeah, I really try to make it alive on different levels, you know, and people tell me they've read my books like 3 times just because they keep getting more and more out of it.
Yeah, each time. It's like reading a whole new book over again, and I rarely will go back and read a book. I don't know why, I'm just like weird that way, but I did reread Frequency several times, and each time it was like reading a completely different book. Even the words were new to me, so thank you for bringing that up. I am grateful to you for the work that you bring to the table. And, you know, folks, what I liked a lot in this book, Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity, is at the end of or even during each chapter, she has these little try this exercises, and they're really easy. It's nothing that you have to, you know, sit for 3 hours and visit the ashram and you know, do the spiritual thing. It's real easy. You can do it right then and there on the fly, and it shifts your energy instantaneously. Two of my favorites, and maybe Penny, you could talk about these two, is the exercise of let the unnecessary dissolve. And that really caught my attention because, it's, you know, sometimes we engage with a lot of unnecessary crap, okay? And then the second was feel the rhythm of the true self. So could you talk to us about those?
Well, I think, you know, when you feel the rhythm of the true self, you have to be quiet for a while in order to start to access that. It's like in frequency, I called it your home frequency. It's that state of your own vibration that's always there, and it's sometimes I call it your preferred state. But there's a certain way that that you bring your ideas from the imaginal realm into this world and recognize them, and then get excited or motivated, and then just gently take action and stay in that sort of peaceful, excited state mm-hmm. all the way through each phase of creativity, where you let the motivation come, you let the ideas register, you let the plan come in, you let, you know, you start taking action, you keep doing the action but having fun doing it, and then you get the results and you're satisfied with the results, and then you like say, that was great, and now let me be quiet and go back into the blank space or the liminal space and access imaginal realms again and be. And then let it start again. So there's a kind of rhythm I think everybody has with that. But if you're in your left brain, if you're addicted to screens and getting things from everybody else's vibrations, you know, you can get so lost from that. You know, so mm-hmm. I think we have to have the, what would you call it, touchstone maybe of that state of being that is your own really core state. That means that you can compare, you know, other states against that. And you say, wait a minute, now I'm feeling anxious. This is not the way I usually feel. Or wait a minute, now I'm hyper excited. This is okay, but it's really not very bringing me much clarity.
Mm.
Or now I'm feeling depressed because somebody else was feeling negative. Now that's not the way I like to feel either.
Yeah.
You know, so you catch these things and then recenter, you know.
Okay. Okay.
And that maybe that helps a lot with releasing what's unnecessary.
I think it does because you're aware, right?
Yeah, you're saying, well, what is real to me in this moment? Not mm-hmm. for my whole life or this year or, you know, what feels really alive for me? And if you check often, you'll find that these things evolve, right? And then they mm-hmm. do. One thing relates to something else, to something else, to something else, and they're all connected.
This past weekend, I went to a Chris Rock concert, and in bold font behind him on the stage, the whole time was this little saying, and it said, comfort is the poison. And I thought about that because, I mean, here you are, you know, at a venue where you're going to laugh and you're having a few drinks and you're interacting with other people, but that comfort is the poison kept speaking to me. And it's basically kind of what's in your book. If you stay within that comfort zone or what you think is cushy, that you're really not growing, you're slowly poisoning yourself. And I think that, and it blocks the transparency. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but I used this term, or I came up with it when I was doing the intuition book on deep comfort mm-hmm. as opposed to superficial comfort. And so deep comfort is that state of being aligned with your home frequency again, where you're in your own truth, and then things feel just right, sort of. Not mm-hmm. right or wrong, not unconsciously comfortable. You know, not, you know, I always use that if you have an affair with somebody, for instance, and you lie to your mate about it, well, maybe that's superficially comfortable because you can avoid something that you think is going to be awful. Mm-hmm. But you're not comfortable deep down when you're in a lie, you know. And so I think that transparency is very much dependent on honesty. Not blatant bang people over the head honesty, you know, but authenticity. You know, being real,
mm-hmm.
letting your inner self shine through, being exposed in a way, and letting people see you, and having faith that if you are your real self, people will find out how much we're all alike. You know, they've mm-hmm. all got some stuff, and you've got stuff, and we're all human, and all that. But I think complacency. Now, that really is maybe what Chris was talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think complacency and sometimes, you know, just being opaque is kind of goes hand in hand because you just, you know, everything is okay. I'm in my little box. I'm going to stay in my box, and I'm not going to bring in any energy, and I'm not exerting any energy. I'm just here right now, you know,
yeah.
And it's not necessarily the now that you talk about in your book about living in the present, but it's definitely, you know, staying stuck in your circle, because if you don't grow, if you don't expand, there's not too much room for change. Now, you talk about in the book clutter, and you bring that up a lot, and it's not necessarily folks looking around your room and getting rid of the clutter, although that's a good thing to do, but it's about the personal
symbolic act.
Yes. So do that first, and then start, you know, what are the thoughts that keep coming back? Because to me, when I read that, the personal clutter came up. What are the recurring thoughts? And to me, that was the clutter. Are you in alignment with that, or were you thinking something different?
Well, you know, to me, the clutter is, like you said, the belief systems, anything that's fixed that doesn't allow energy to flow from the soul through to the mind and the personality, mm-hmm. things that block things, right, you know, that are so contracted that it's almost dead in a way. And, of course, belief systems are often that way. Even your personal story that you think, here's the way I am, why I am the way I am. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a blah, 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 you know, and and you tell the story, your story over and over again, and until at a certain point when your vibration gets up pretty high, you're like, I am so bored with this story. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't even care who I am. You know, like, okay, I can use my story to make connections with people, but really it's my presence that's who I am. And so you kind of, you know, just stop talking like that. Do you know what I mean? And you let go of a lot of the meanings that you had clung to. That's all clutter, in a way. You know, it's like things that are covering over your radiance. Mm-hmm. Now, you can use those things. Like, I can have my biography, you know, and shine through that and express mm-hmm. through that. And, you know, I'm a lot more than even my history. You know, so and so are all of us.
Yes.
We're all so much more fascinating than the story.
Well, you know, it's great to have the story, and the great thing about the story is it adjusts and changes as we adjust and change. Well, so speaking with Penny Pierce, she's the author of Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. You can check her out at her website. That's pennypierce.com, PennePierce.com. Penny, in your book, you talk a lot about trust. Okay, it seems like trust is the basic underpinnings of everything. And you talk about the eight areas of trust building. Could you briefly explain those to us, please?
Oh, God, I can't remember, you know, if I
well,
have
just
all...
in general. Yeah, they don't have to do
I think,
but just the general energy behind it.
I talk about radical trust, too. The idea that, you know, radical really means to get at the root of something. So, like, I started to think, well, okay, if you get down to the root of trust, what is it really? You know, and it really is this deep personal connection with the self as the soul. And the first level of trust is to realize I am a soul. I am here now, and I know what I'm doing. I know how to get things to happen. I know how to have the insights I need to have. I know how to grow myself. And I can trust what I get, you know, what my mind receives from me, the big me. You know, so you sort of make a decision to trust your own deep self, and then how that self gets through to your mind. You know, so what do you notice? How do you notice what you notice?
Mm-hmm.
And use it, because then you have to trust the flow. And the flow, you know, makes your day up every day. You know, you walk down the road and you notice certain things and make that meaningful to yourself. And, you know, how are you getting ideas through to your own mind? You know, that's fascinating. So even if something difficult happens in your life, it can so easily be such a gift, not a negative thing, not a blockage, but something mm-hmm. that has data that's there for you because it's helping you get out of something that's limiting you, let's say. You know, so everything is evolutionary. You have to trust that. So it's like sort of unconditional trust for every possible way that you can do it, including, you know, other people and their motives in their life. Because I do totally believe, after having worked with so many thousands of people, that people are trying to get better. Everybody's trying to evolve, even if they're locked into fear or anxiety or, you know, PTSD or whatever. They are looking somewhere deeply as a way to expand and be who they truly are.
Okay, so if we're looking to expand and be who we truly are, in your book, you talk about a reality ball. How do we shift or grow that reality ball to something that is more conducive to where we think we're going anyway?
Well, the reality ball, that I talk about in Leap of Perception a lot, and that is how we're shifting out of linear thinking, past, present, future, and cause and effect and all that, into spherical perception, which is where I'm in the center of a big ball of reality, like I have a sphere, my sphere of influence, my sphere of knowledge, you know. And that ball expands and contracts depending on what you focus on with your attention. So if I'm, you know, writing a note on a pad of paper, my ball is small. You know, I focus on a real physical moment. If I'm meditating, that ball expands way out, and I might become aware of the Akashic records of the planet, you know, or some higher ascended master teacher talking to me, or whatever, my own life purpose. And so we are constantly moving in and out through the universe or the unified field of knowledge, with different focal lengths, like a zoom lens on a camera. Okay, so the frequency of your thoughts and feelings and the way you choose to feel determines, I think, a lot what the scope of your sphere. So if you open up and are in a sense of compassion and mutual inclusion, mutual support with others, trusting, then you open into a much bigger sense of reality, because reality is your ball, you know. And so then you start to see, instead of having a future, there's nothing outside the ball or beyond it, really. It's just an imaginary focal length. But what you have are, you know, different frequency levels that you could focus on, and they're all options or potentials for how your present moment might evolve into the next present moment, what you want to place your attention on, for instance. So you use your imagination. So you imagine, what would a really great job for me be like? And I'll do that in my present moment, in my imaginal mind, and I'll come up with something where the people all like each other and we get to be creative in our own ways and we have nice pay, you know, and then we are doing good for humanity and whatever it is. And you imagine it, you see, and then you make it so real in your imagination that you can feel it, so that your body can actually start to get in on it and say, oh, this is the way it would feel to go to work every morning. And then the more you keep your attention on it in a very loving way, the closer that comes down to the physical world, and pretty soon it starts to show up. It actually emerges out of your field. And at that point, you start to realize that it's really the power of your attention on different possible realities that causes them to become real. And taking your attention out of things lets them fade back into the unified field. Okay. So you're very empowered then, you know, to create the kind of reality that you would really like. And then what happens is, especially when you're transparent, that it's not selfish. It serves you and everyone. You know, it's all simultaneous that way. It's mutually supportive.
And not ego-centered. Well, based on what you said, Penny, how do we change our frequency and raise our vibration so that we can become more transparent?
Yeah, I think, again, it's a matter of what you're focusing your attention on. So you can, if you're feeling like, oh, that woman, you know, cheated me over at the store and charged me too much money and people aren't very good and, you know, complain, you're contracting, right, and creating a kind of low vibration. As soon as you notice that, you can stop it, pause, take a breath, get back in the center, get in your body, and say, now look, I'm going to focus my attention on something I like. Like, I love the tree out in my backyard. I love the birds. I love my dog. I love, you know, whatever. I like it when my kitchen looks neat and tidy, you know, anything, you know, that starts, and you talk yourself back into a relaxed, open, cheerful, you know, whatever state, so that you're back to yourself. And that's getting back to your home frequency. And as soon as you're back into that and realizing, hey, wait a minute, I'm the soul, I know what I'm doing, you know, why did I just have that feeling about that woman at the store? Well, you know, that's me not really feeling all my own, you know, benefit or something. I don't know. You know, there's always a reason things occur in your physical world that matches something in your internal world. You know, and so you make use of and get the message from the experience that you just had that was, you know, contracted. Mm-hmm. And then it's all gone. Then it goes away.
Wow. So it seems like if you can shift your thinking, shift what area of the brain you're utilizing, life could be a whole lot different on many levels if we're just willing to put a little bit of work into ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Because I think sometimes it's difficult for people to be honest with themselves as to who they truly are or where they're at. And not from a judgment standpoint, but just like an informational standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is hard. First of all, people don't want to experience fear or the, you know, they're afraid of the, what's the word I want to say? I want to say the potential for loss, rejection, or possible annihilation. You know, they don't want to think about it. Even though if they did face some of their fears, they would see that it was just a misperception, that it wasn't even real. You know, but there's, so there's an avoidance of feeling anything negative or, you know, frightening. But then there's also a fear of feeling your own light. Like, how could I be that wonderful? You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's ego. I'm not allowed to feel that. I should be self-sacrificing it, you know, all of that. And those are old ideas. When you really feel the true self, you're just like a little kid full of themselves, just jumping along, having a really good time, and you love everything. And it's not about ego, right? You know, it's not narcissism.
No, it's not at all. Well, I want to shift gears for a second, Penny, and talk about how can we create a healthier transparency in organizations and in our workspace. I mean, we look at the U.S. government right now, and you know, I don't think there's any hope for that with transparency, but there's other ways that we can be transparent. So how do we do that?
Well, you know, part of it, I think, is a dedication to be authentic and honest, to set up in business or in government, you know, situations where free speech can really occur without, you know, being fired, where people's good ideas can be shared and appreciated. So we're moving out of hierarchical structures, which are linear, right, and into a kind of a more, I would call it a flatter organizational structure where everybody's more a collective consciousness. Everybody contributes more equally. And that allows a lot more transparency. When you get a situation like in our government now where we have the president who's like an incredible narcissist and wants to be the sort of, you know, king of the world, now we've got like a really heavy-duty linear structure and, you know, authoritarian structure, which is based on fear, basically. Mm-hmm. But that will, you know, I'm very sure that that situation is going to shift because the world is still accelerating. And that kind of consciousness, it's a sort of a last gasp of the ego trying to stay in control of everything. Mm-hmm. But it won't work. Pretty soon it's going to be seen as very antiquated and old and like dinosaur-like, you know, that it's not with it. And you know, young people and people who are really growing, are they're just not interested in it. So I think it will be eclipsed. You know, it can't last that long, honestly.
So. If the world lasts beyond it, that's the, you know, prudent question right now, because, like, my goodness, so many things have gone awry. Now, you talk about, you know, a raising of consciousness within people, and that will get there. How does one, and I shared with you before the show, I have a particular relative who is, you know, deep into the fundamentalist thing, and if you are not on board with that particular person, you are nothing. How do we, or do we, work with that person or get past it? Because I chose to honestly just wipe my hands and walk away. Now, that could be the wrong answer, but that's how I chose to deal with it.
Well, I think we're talking a lot right now about as the frequency increases, people go with the flow of it. They open themselves up to it. They, you know, and sometimes it's difficult. You get a wave coming through, and it makes you very anxious and on edge. And, you know, I found myself even, you know, needing to sleep in the afternoon or eat a lot of carbohydrates or something to kind of slow it down, or, you know, and then I realize, wait a minute, I just relax, let it come through, let it work on me. Mm-hmm. So you either go with it and then you grow and you get all this new kind of consciousness, or it scares you a lot and you dig your heels in, backtrack, try to go back to your old security systems and the things that have some kind of structure that you know, a belief system, for instance, and a way of either trying to control reality by either fight or flight methodologies. So someone who digs into a new belief system like your friend is basically that's a fight methodology. Mm-hmm. You know, so I adhere to this and everybody else needs to too, or else, you know, the world is out of control. And that's what narcissists do. Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to agree with me or else my reality can't be real, you know, and it freaks them out. Or the other one is I'm just going to leave my body and not pay attention to anything and be apathetic and, you know, the opioid addiction crisis and all that. You know, it's just that's the flight methodology. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deal with anything. Okay. Or I'll commit suicide and just leave.
Yeah.
You know, so
not necessarily,
you know,
the answer.
These are two ways that people are doing it if they don't have enough information about what's really happening in the world right now, energetically. You know.
And is it important for them to discover a different way of interacting with the world on their own, or is it prudent upon the person who is, you know, walking a different path to share information?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, I call it frequency sorting right now. Mm-hmm. It's like you're moving on, you know, getting the new energy, adapting, getting higher frequency. And a lot of the people in our lives are not doing it at the same speed, or they don't want to do it right now. And so they can't actually exist in your force field. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like popcorn. They kind of get popped out of the pan into another little reality where they match up with other people who believe the same way they believe right now, mm-hmm. which is a compassionate thing, because then they'll get it when they're ready. But they can perceive that it's too much of a jump for them to make all at once to get mm-hmm. to a higher level. And so they're going to take their time or something. So in that case, what I have found is it's okay, just let them go. Don't try to fit into their reality, because you won't. You'll keep getting ejected, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't fit in theirs, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And so, but love them. They're still in your sphere, you know, but don't put your attention on them so much, because you don't need to drop your vibration down to that level. Mm-hmm. But you can bless them. And let them.
And they're always looking for someone external of themselves to complete them. And that's not, in my opinion, the necessarily positive way to go. So talk to us about the soul energy, if you will, the soul mate, the love relationship,
right,
and being transparent in love.
Well, when you become transparent, remember, that's you realizing that you're the soul and you're perfectly fine, nothing's really lacking, you're just here to create and enjoy, then you find that your whole energy field gets saturated to that vibration. And then you find that people start emerging out of that field that match your vibration.
Uh-huh.
So you have more people who are also transparent, or who are realize their spiritual roots, or, you know, their spiritual core. And often then those people come together in a way where they're like puzzle pieces and they all start fitting together. Often I call this the convening, where a lot of people who are really on the similar wavelength are showing up now for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's not so much of that frequency sorting, which we were talking about before, but more of a frequency matching with the higher frequencies, you know, so that once you make a choice to move to a higher frequency and get saturated with that level, of light, then other people just start showing up and matching your vibration, because we all, our fields overlap, if you will, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the possibility then of creating out of the group mind, out of an aligned vibration with other people, things that are really helpful for humanity and for the planet. So I think that's really a next step of what's happening. And then you don't feel like the other people are completing you, because you're equal. You know, there's no need for completion. You're already complete.
Okay. Well, folks, we have been speaking with Penny Pierce. Her website is PennyPierce.com. The book is Transparency, Seeing Through Our Expanded Human Capacity. It's available everywhere. If you are a person who truly wants to shift their energy to the positive, because we could also shift to the negative, but if you want to shift your energy to the positive and you're looking for tools that are easy to implement and will help you accomplish this goal, get the book. In my introduction, I said it's a bestseller. Well, it's only been out about 20 days. It's not a bestseller yet, but it's on its way. Trust me, it's on its way. Mark my words. So, Penny, thank you for being with me tonight. I appreciate it greatly.
Me too. It's been fun.
Yes, it has. And I really appreciate the fact that Penny has shared information about transparency to help us get over ourselves and move on with our lives. And to the audience, I truly appreciate and I'm honored for your time and attention. When you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations offered at a 10% discount for 30 minutes or longer. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and call 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love and being transparent, and abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.